Well, when we were speaking to the organisers, they were very proud to actually announce the Contiki Dalek, or the Tiki Dalek is actually there. We've got two fabulous folk here who've actually just passed me by, and I just thought, yes, we don't normally do Vox Pops as such, but this time it's only right. We're speaking to...
Pauline.
And...
BJ.
Pauline and PJ. Pauline, are you attendees, science fiction fans? Are you writers, authors? Why are you here?
Partially because we wanted to come to London, and partially because we are big science fiction fans. Yes.
Very good. Good answer on every question from that point of view. Obviously, we've just had San Diego Comic Con. Have you been to San Diego? Are you a regular circuit goer?
I've never been to San Diego. We often go to the smaller local fan-run conventions.
Which is where it all started, of course.
Absolutely. I personally do small polymer clay statues, and I have some in the art show. But mostly, I just like coming to these things because these are my people. This is my tribe.
I mean, I must admit, covering events from the Great Yorkshire Shows, the Lincolnshire Show, county shows, agriculture shows, yes, there's a science fiction side of me which certainly does appreciate what's coming on here from that point of view. Now, you were looking at the Tiki Dalek here, obviously the ideal character for somebody based in Hawaii, or indeed other tropical islands from that perspective. Your thoughts on this, please?
I'm actually going to pass you over to him because...
BJ.
He's big on Tiki.
Big on Tiki or Doctor Who, or big on both?
Definitely both. I've always been a great admirer of the Tiki culture that came up in North America in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And bringing this together with Doctor Who, also fan way back from at least the beginning of the Tom Baker era, and seeing them together, this is terrible and marvelous at the same time.
I think that's wonderful, because obviously there are those of us this side of the Atlantic who would go back to William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton, but Tom Baker, of course, the first real step into the States in terms of really to appreciate what Doctor Who was all about.
That's true. Although I've gone back and watched the episodes of the first three Doctor, or you know, the ones that survive or have been rediscovered. But yes, starting with Tom, I have now seen every episode up to the present day, so...
And clearly we're only days away from August 23rd and the release of Peter Capaldi as the latest incarnation of the Doctor. A little, almost a shout of joy there from yourself, Paulie. Are we looking forward to that, or did we think, it's sad that Matt Smith went?
I think I'm in the minority when I say that Matt Smith was not my favorite Doctor. There were some moments that he did really well, but... For the most part, I was sad to see David Tennant go, and...
I think yourself and probably a good 40% of the female population of the planet would see him, really.
True. But when Christopher Eccleston went, I was sad to see him go. David Tennant came in and did a spectacular job as the next Doctor. I found that Matt Smith did not fill the same void. As I say, there are some moments of Matt Smith's incarnation that were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And his companions were universally
fantastic. One of them's become a Guardian of the Galaxy. Well, actually, a villain in Guardian of the Galaxy, let's face it.
But yes, the Peter Capaldi incarnation, I am definitely looking forward to seeing. I think it's a good direction to go in, especially after the introduction of John Hurt and the War Doctor, and the fact that there is this whole other level to the Doctor that we didn't know about before.
Absolutely. It could be opening up a whole range of things. Who would have thought that actually, had it not been for sliders in the 1990s, you probably would have had Paul McGann being in the Doctor's shoes for all sorts of things.
Sure enough, yeah. And we were actually from Vancouver, where the Doctor Who was shot.
And sliders.
And the X-Files, of course.
Of course. It's... always been a little sad that Paul McGann didn't get more of one of the things when we did watch the anniversary show, the fact that on the disc there is the Paul McGann regeneration, and it's one of the best I think they've ever done.
And acknowledgement of Charlie, the Big Finish creation.
Yes, and it shows and it really sets up the reboot very, very well. I'm sorry that more people haven't seen that.
We've just actually flagged it up. Firstly, I'd love to see the Tiki Dalek actually appear in a Hawaii 5-0 episode. I think that'll be the next stage. If we could actually reincarnate Jack Lord as the original Garrett, I think we'd be in heaven, really.
And, you know, Doctor on vacation. You know, you got Hawaii is where you go, right?
One of the exciting aspects of the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, which I know the organisers were delighted to talk about, was the presence of the British Interplanetary Society. And for those folk who might be thinking, oh, it's Dan Dare, it's a whole range of other things, it's the late Sir Patrick Moore in full force, it's the late Sir Arthur Clarke. Well, of course, there are elements of all of that together, but we're delighted now to be able to speak to...
Yeah, my name is Colin Philp. I'm a council member at the British Interplanetary Society.
And wearing an Italia connection for the British Italia Interplanetary Society polo shirt, I see.
That's right, yeah, we do have an Italian branch in Rome, so we have a lot of enthusiasts and technical people over there, so yeah, it's a thriving branch in Rome.
100 years or so ago, H.G. Wells was obviously in full throttle, or he produced a whole range of things in terms of SF. Jules Verne obviously passed on, but was talking about various other things. We began to move towards Konstantin Tsiolkovsky in the onset of Rockets and Wernher von Braun, and so on and so forth. And so we move on to that. Here we are in the 21st century. I'm still a little bit disappointed we don't have silver flight suits and regular interplanetary travel, but it's happening, isn't it?
I think it is. I think we've got, at the moment, a brave new world in space is happening, and there are a lot of very exciting projects which are just about to sort of burst upon the scene. I mean, the biggest one for us really is Skylon from Reaction Engines, and we do have a lot of Reaction Engines people in the BIS, so very exciting times for us.
Carl Sagan, a fantastic astronomer and scientist, of course, once came up with a figure that I think was certainly echoed by the late Sir Patrick Moore, as you mentioned, that actually the entire cost of the Voyager spacecraft per head of population of the States worked out about 5 cents or something, which is ridiculously cheap. In terms of addressing that, do you feel that the private sector and the input of people like Richard Branson and so on is actually beginning to reduce the cost, and also addressing that very vexed question, which actually, why should we invest in space travel and space flight? Because actually, that's what we should be doing.
No, I obviously, being in the BIS, I completely agree. I think it's about our future as a species. You know, we have to move from the Earth. I really do think that it is money very well spent. And of course there are the spin-offs from the technology, but there's also the inspirational aspect of space exploration, which we're very much about at the BIS, so we fully support that. And what we do at the BIS is connect the space community, so we're very much about educating and inspiring people and promoting space exploration use and development, so obviously we're very much behind it.
Back in the 1980s, I was lucky enough to meet both Gene Roddenberry and Gerry Anderson, and I was delighted to be able to say that in both cases, their take on the future in science fiction was what inspired me to do a science degree in chemistry and biology. Is that one of the reasons you're actually here at the World Science Fiction event, that obviously it's that interrelationship of inspiration as well that taps into the science fact of the British Interplanetary Society?
Absolutely. Our motto is from imagination to reality. And I think that's crucial. You know, so many of our designs started on the back of an envelope or back of a cigarette packet or discussed down the pub. And so many of those things have come through to fruition. I mean, look at the BIS lunar lander concept from the 1940s. Many of the engineering aspects of that went through to Apollo. So we're very much about coming up with those pioneering concepts in astronautics and feeding them through to industry and the wider world.
And quite rightly, we need to acknowledge once again, for people who seem to forget, Arthur C. Clarke communication satellites, Patrick Moore responsible very much for mapping surface of the moon as well, helping with that whole assistance. What inspired yourself to actually get involved with the British Interplanetary Society?
Well, I had an interest in astronautics and space exploration from a very early age, from about the age of 5. And for me, it was Apollo. I'm from that generation. I was the kid sitting in front of the television watching the moon landing.
You and me both, actually, Colin.
Yeah, so...
not on the same television, obviously, but
yeah,
we were there, yeah.
No, my parents put me in front of the television, and that's a kind of... At that age, you know, I watched Apollo 11 at the age of 6, Apollo 17 at the age of 9, and that is an indelible image, really. And I think at that very impressionable age... it stays with you. So,
and of course,
yep.
Eugene Cernan, the last scientist on the moon, also the last man on the moon. First scientist on the moon and last man on the moon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was with Harrison Schmitt, who was the first geologist on the moon. So, yeah, it was an inspirational time. But I think there are inspirational times to come.
And can fiction help with that? Because clearly, you know, an awful lot of folk would say, well, yes, the warp drive, iron propulsion, suspended animation, etc., these are all, in a sense, high concept ideas. Can that actually help in terms of, you know, that whole imagineering side of things?
I think they can. I think that we do need to exercise our imaginations with respect to space exploration. I do think it's very important that we have a forum for that, and we certainly have that at the BIS. You know, one of our first major projects was Project Daedalus, which was the first concept and engineering study of a starship in the 1970s. So we're very much about encouraging that sort of thinking and driving that forward into industry. And we have a number of projects on the go at the moment at the BIS, so it's ongoing.
How can people get involved? I know they might be listening to this. They might have heard in the background some of the Also Sprach Zarathustra from 2001, all of the connections within that. How can people actually sort of find out more and connect with the British Interplanetary Society?
Well, we're a very welcoming and friendly society. Certainly have a look at our website, www.bis-space.com, and all the details are there. We have our HQ in London, in Vauxhall in London. And anyone who's interested is certainly welcome to drop around and have a look. We have a lot of space memorabilia and history there. Welcome to get involved in any way. We have a lot of volunteers doing work at the BIS, projects on the go, people helping with the BIS itself as an organisation. So a lot going on.
So a location report from Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting and some of our team on Parsec and other shows would be possibly welcome?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's been a genuine doubt. We could literally sit here and talk all day because there's so many fascinating things that are actually around. I mean, there's a wonderful sort of model that we've actually got just behind me, the Rolls-Royce British Aerospace rocket, I have to say. Just talk us through this.
Yeah, this is called HOTOL, and this one of the major forces behind this is one of our former presidents, Bob Parkinson, who came up with this initial concept in the 1980s for a space plane. And it would have launched from the back of a very large transport aircraft and then flown up into orbit. It's all about weight, really, with space exploration and space vehicles.
Gravity can be a beast, can't it?
It's a bit of a testing one, yeah. But from there has come Skylon, really. Skylon has grown. This is the sort of father of Skylon, so it all kind of started with HOTOL, which is an acronym for Horizontal Takeoff and Landing, and that's the idea, is a genuine single stage to orbit space vehicle. So we hope to see that in the 2020s with Skylon.
And of course the VTOL, to use the vertical takeoff and landing of Thunderbird 1, was one of those classic examples of the fiction coming before fact, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the Imagineers are so important in this business, and certainly Arthur C. Clarke, you know, one of our founding members, is hugely inspirational. So we need this sort of imagination and work to go on to develop into these sort of projects.
And finally, your thoughts on the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. I mean, I must admit, this is my first ever World Science Fiction Convention. I've attended various other sort of lines, etc. I just think it's phenomenal. I mean, we've covered events with SFX magazine here in the past. We've been at the London Boat Show. I do think the British Interplanetary Society show will probably take this over before the London Boat Show. Just a line. But what are your thoughts on the event itself?
I think it's phenomenal. I mean, to see the sheer enthusiasm and the range of interest within science fiction, I think, is phenomenal. So, again, something like this that connects people, because that's so important in today's world. We connect electronically across the world, but actually connecting face-to-face like we're doing now, that is more valuable than ever. So, yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful.
From the British Interplanetary Society, right the way through to the excitement of Child of the Hive and indeed Omega Rising, we could only be speaking to the legend who is...
Jessica Meets.
Yes, go Jessica, fantastic. Listen, Jessica, just talk us through Child of the Hive, Shadows of Tomorrow, some wonderful text here.
So they're all science fiction adventures, very much action-adventure, plot-driven, chases, explosions, lots of fighting. So Child of the Hive is set so near in the future that some of the things I wrote to show it is the future have now happened. We've got two organisations in conflict and the main characters get caught in the middle. Shadows of Tomorrow is slightly more mainstream sci-fi. You've got parallel worlds, creatures from another dimension, and a man who can remember his future.
Which, again, just echoes that whole range aspect of sort of future technology driving from that perspective. Jessica, we've talked a lot about inspiration, and certainly Lincoln Inspired next year and the annual Lincoln Inspired deals with that. What inspired you to tap into the fabulous world of science fiction?
I generally just write the sort of stories I like to read, and I've, from a very early age, I've read fantasy, science fiction, and that's really where my ideas bloom. But some of it also comes from working in the IT industry, having a background in technology. So when I was at university, I was actually writing Child of the Hive, and some of the technology would be things that we'd discuss as things being developed now. And I would think, wonder what would happen if that became mainstream, if that became common, and if we carried that through to its logical succession. So a lot of it is just taking what can we do now and imagining what if it was a step further ahead.
I'm sure next year the Hugo Award will be awarded to your good self. Clearly that might not happen this year, but it'll happen from that perspective. Events such as this, opportunity to meet the readers, to meet fans, meet fellow science fiction appreciators as well. What are your thoughts on the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, LongCon 3?
I'm absolutely loving it, both from being able to talk to people who, some of them have read my work before, a lot of them have never heard of me, so it's a great opportunity for me.
They will now, Jessica, they will now.
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity for me as an author, but you also have moments when I'm talking to somebody and then I'll glance down at their name badge and go, hang on, you're famous and I own half of your books. So it's quite exciting, just as a fan of the genre as well.
And a question we always put to authors, it can be a little like selecting which one of your children is the favourite, but do you have a particular favourite, or once they've released, once Shadows of Tomorrow, Child of the Hive and Omega Rising have actually headed off, is it a case of they have to find their own way?
I think Child of the Hive will probably always be my favourite because it was the first book I ever got published. So there was that moment when it came in the post, my author's copy, and I was dancing around the living room with excitement. And that is actually, literally, I was dancing. So I think that will always have a soft spot. But generally, the book that I love most is whatever I happen to be writing at the time.
And certainly, I know we've already spoken to our regular colleague, Dave Bradley, editor-in-chief of SFX magazine. I forgot to mention Sci-Fi Now, of course, because they also sort of produce a whole range of things there. Excellent stuff. Jessica, the web is such an important part for all authors these days. What's the web address for your good self?
So I have a blog at plottwister.blog.com.
So it's a blog as opposed to a straight web scenario. And, of course, you can purchase Child of the Hive, Shadows of Tomorrow and Omega Rising from the usual outlets, presumably.
Yeah, so they're all up on places like Amazon, and you can get the two full-length novels, so Child of the Hive and Shadows of Tomorrow, you can also get on places like Waterstones websites and order in store.
We were speaking earlier with the organisers, and the legend that is Farah Mendelssohn was mentioned. I say legendary because it was a matter of, nearly two decades ago, where she complimented me on a paper I did at Dune, Matt, at the University of Luton. I still remember that, Farah. And it was very gracious of your good self. It was evaluating Dune as a theological narrative or ecological dystopia. Good to see you.
Good to see you, but 20 years ago I was a jumped-up PhD student.
Yeah, well, look what's happened now. Fantastic stuff there. You know, we shared, of course, the organisation of the joys of the New Worlds 50 recently, and the excitement that was, of course, UEA's 50th anniversary. That was a great event. And here we are at the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention.
Yes, what do you want me to say apart from, oh my God, it's massive!
It's doing very well. We've already got a whole range of folk from the British Interplanetary Society, three authors, a whole range of factors there. Spoken, of course, to Dave Bradley. Louis Savvy is coming up. You're one of the key folk behind this, of course, in terms of organising the whole system. You must be very proud.
I am. We started working on this 3 years ago with the aim to completely revive the display area. We've got 70 displays in from universities, from charities, individuals' collections. We've doubled the number of dealers here in 2005 and doubled the number of artists. The team, and there's about 10 core people, have just been amazing, and they're wonderful people to work with. I think the thing we're proudest of is that we still all love each other.
Of course, that's absolutely. And Farah, I must admit, I'm also wearing my hat at the University of Lincoln. We're looking to put together a now science fiction themed symposium as part of the Lincoln Inspired Festival next year. Hopefully you'll be part of that.
It's hard to say no on air.
You see, you know these tricks of the trade so well. It's not just the final programme that I'm developing here. It's a whole range of things on that basis. Farah, it's been fantastic. Just touching base with your good self once again. Many thanks. We'll see you again very soon, hopefully.
See you again soon. Enjoy yourself.